Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom is
Maximilius. Maximilius.
Maximilius.
Two names, Maximilius, Maximilius.
Maximilius, Maximilius, okay. No longer Matthew Haas.
Nope, not anymore.
Did you legally change your name again?
Not this time. I kind of ran out of money. Costed a lot to do that.
Okay.
And well, no, folks, we said, you know, please contribute financially to our podcast. You know, we do this for free, but it would be nice to have a little bit of walking around money.
Yeah.
Nobody did it.
Change of name money.
Nobody did it, so I ran out. You know, I can't do this on my own. You know.
Yep. So, changing names aren't going to pay for themselves.
Nope.
Nope. Ah, people, come on. Give us some money so Matt can change his name every week. Or whoever he is, Maximilius, can change his name every week. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you can live in a world where you can't change your name every week.
It's trying. I'll tell you that much. It is trying. So I was going to change my gender profile to there and them.
Yeah.
That costs money, too. That costs money, too, apparently. You can't do that for free for some reason.
What the hell? Really?
So, you know.
Fuck the world, man.
The grift, man. It's all capitalist grift. All of it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Matt. Our listeners better start giving us some money. Because, you know, maybe one day I want to change my name. But I don't think I'm going to.
You can still spend the money on something else, like a pizza, or like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Food.
Yeah, food, man.
Yeah, I like food.
We all like food. Well, not all of us. Not Jimmy Carter. Oh, my God, I'm blanking. Johnny Carson did not like food.
Really?
He just ate for sustenance. He didn't actually like food.
That's interesting.
So, very interesting. Yeah, he just didn't care for it. So, at least Dad told me that he heard an interview. So I hope I'm right. I'm not just passing down what was told to me without doing the proper research. Hey, it happens to the best of us. Okay?
Well, I heard that he's a robot. He was a robot.
Oh yeah, interesting. Yeah, I wonder where he got that from. Yeah.
And then the only reason that he stopped doing the Tonight Show was because they were running out of parts.
Ooh.
For the robot.
Did it? Ba boom.
Yeah. So
speaking of robots.
Yeah. So today we are covering the first 5 episodes of season, I believe it's 5, let me see. Yep, 5 episodes of season 7 of Legends of Tomorrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. We fell a little bit behind, folks. Sorry about that. We're going to do a quick recap of the first few episodes and then talk about the latest episode. Or just even a quick recap of that, too. Who knows, you know? Whatever we have time for. And then hopefully next week we'll get it back on track. So, in the first episode, Matt, which was entitled The Bullet Blondes, a second Wave Rider destroys the original stranding the legends, not standing, destroys the original Wave Rider, stranding the legends in 1925 Odessa, Texas. They pass the alien invasion off as a circus act. But Spooner stops this in order to take pressure off of her mother, Gloria. Astra uses a spell to find a safe and learns that it was given to the sheriff. So Nate retrieves it by impersonating J. Edgar Hoover. But they find that Mick actually took the safe's time courier for a beer run when they get it. So Astra fails to reform the Wave Rider, causing an explosion that alerts the real Hoover. And so then, using John Constantine's key, they hide in a hell pocket dimension with a duplicate of his mansion. Which, if you try to think about for more than 2 seconds, your brain hurts.
Yeah.
Just letting you know that, because I'm just accepting that that exists. It's magic, you know, magic hooey wooey for the TV show or whatever, you know? Just. Okay. Ava Sharp reads about a guy named Gwen Davis, which they call Davies, who is the forefather of time travel. So Sarah Lance suggests that they travel to him in New York City while robbing banks to lure Hoover away. She and Ava form the Bullet Blondes and leave with Nate and Gary Green and Bayrod, while Zari stays in the mansion pocket dimension thing that hurts my brain. And
which is technically inside of hell, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
So, okay. And Spooner and, actually, during this situation, Astra got hurt, so Spooner and Astra stay back so Gloria can take care of them. So, on the way out of town, Nate accidentally kills Hoover in self-defense. So then Gary eats Hoover.
Yep.
And then,
yep.
Back on the farm, Astra, using a spell, inadvertently creates a human Gideon. And that's where that episode ends.
That's what you do, man.
Which is another thing that hurts my brain to think about. So, anyway, so...
Well, we already saw a human form of her, or human eyes, in season 3.
Yeah, but that was like that was in like Rip's imagination and stuff too, though. So,
no, it was, not with Rip. It was Zari.
Oh, that was another time. Yeah, but one time it was in Rip's imagination too.
Oh, I see.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
So then we have the second episode, which is called The Need for Speed. So, Sarah's group catches a train to New York. Where Nate impersonates Hoover by using a potion made by Gary to, like, disguise him. And, Sarah and Ava return to the mansion. Ava helps Zari cope with her breaking up of, her breaking up with Constantine. And the two focus on identifying who destroyed the Wave Rider. So Nate struggles to come to terms with the fact that he killed Hoover.
Yeah.
Yeah. The train is stopped by by FBI agents, intent on stopping a kidnapping, while pretending to coerce a Russian man into giving information. Nate realizes that the train's destination has changed, and that the FBI agents are fakes sent by Al Capone to kidnap him. Gary's potion wears off, so Nate's captors can't deliver him. This allows him to accept Hoover's death. The Bullet Blondes pay off Capone's men, but are caught by an aggressive Hoover robot. And he self-destructs, suggesting that robots destroyed the Wave Rider back in Texas. So back in Texas, Gideon acts erratically and is unable to speak. Spooner restores her speech, and she states that they must reach Davis in time, his time travel experiment, in 2 weeks before the legends do, or else they will die. Dun dun dun. Okay, now that brings us to episode 3, which is the 100th episode.
Oh yeah, great episode.
Which was directed by Katie Lotz, who plays Sarah Lance. So wow. That's cool. This was called Wave Rider Error 100. OEST of the GS Gideon not found. I don't know. Anyways, it's some like computer language. So
yeah.
So in this episode, we've got going on is Gideon is struggling making decisions, and she collapses. So yeah. Astra and Spooner enter her mind, you know, like you do.
Yeah, of course.
And they meet a memory of Jefferson Jax.
Yes, Jefferson.
Who has a British accent.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, the actor is actually British, so that might be why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So he didn't have to use his fake accent that much.
Oh, man, I missed the OG cast so much, man. Oh, man. That brought back memories from, like, 2 years ago. When I watched all the episodes.
So,
Those are some really good memories from 2 whole years ago.
So, defending her subconsciousness, Astra and, Jax is, like, this is, defending her subconsciousness. He's like a manifestation that she has that's in there defending things. Astra and Spooner help Gideon recover lost memories of the legends, which include, we see Ray Palmer, Carter Hall, Leonard Snart, Martin Stein, Rip Hunter, Nora Dark, and Zari Tomas.
Right, but no Hawk Girl, which is interesting.
No, and no Mick Rory.
Well, Mick was supposedly drunk on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know.
It's probably because the actor just left the show recently, so.
Yep. Sad times.
Hopefully he comes back someday.
I really miss Ray, though, so much, man. Ray Palmer. There's no reason to write him out of the show. None of the bullshit.
My theory on that is that he was getting paid probably the most of anybody in the cast.
Yeah, you think so? Why?
Because prior to the show being established, he was one of the only, like, actual stars. Because, I mean, he played Superman and, you know, and stuff like that. Brandon Routh, and he had a recurring role on Chuck. He had, you know, different things. He was a well-established actor. He was Zach and Dury, make a porno, different things, you know, so, yeah.
Maybe that, yeah, because their whole reasoning was, oh, well, he wouldn't be able to be married and live on the Wave Rider, but, wait, what? Ava and Sarah, they mean they weren't married, but they were living together. It's like, okay.
It's funny, they get married just right after that, too, so it's like, okay, yeah.
It's like, fuck you guys, but yeah. Anyway.
Anywho,
yeah,
we'll probably see more Ray in the future, I think, on other shows. So, so along the way, Gideon is attacked by a virus of herself who doesn't want to be human. It corrupts her memories, forcing her to re-experience the deaths of several legends. And reveals that Rip had reprogrammed her to protect them against her will. So her caring about the legends was actually just in her programming, you know?
That made me really sad.
Yeah.
When they revealed that. Yeah, that was, I didn't like that.
So, Jax, Astra, and Spooner uncorrupt the memories and show Gideon happier ones, convincing her to embrace humanity and take control of the virus. She is comforted by all the legends and wakes up. So then we cut to 2213 Vancouver, British Columbia, where we see Bishop. Younger Bishop. He has dreams of his future self and the legends from the alien invasion in 1925, which his memories were supposed to be wiped, but I guess not fully. He finds a copy of Gideon that he downloaded and resets her memories, intending to use her against the legends. Not sure why, but whatever. Guess evil does evil no matter what, you know.
Well, because he remembers enough that they did something to him, and it revealed like a dark part of him. That pissed me off, because I was hoping that we'd be rid of Bishop. I knew we wouldn't, because he had such a minor role.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way he could have been the big bad, and then that's it. So I was like, I know they're gonna bring him back. I don't know how. And I was like, oh, so far we know, third episode, here we go. I'm like, damn it, Bishop. Don't like Bishop, man. Don't like him.
Yeah. But you're not supposed to like him, so.
No, what I mean by that is like, yeah, you're not supposed to like the villain, but it's like, all right, so you got Damien Dark, and then you got Bishop. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Like, who's the better villain here? Like, you know, like, you know what I mean? Mr. Man Bun or Damien Dark? Like, you know, with those piercing blue eyes and that silver hair. And, whoa, starting to have, like, weird.
I think you just have a crush on Damien Dark. That's all it is.
Return of the Mac. They're playing that one song.
Yeah,
and when they're bringing them back from the dead, yeah, they're doing that weird ritual. Yeah,
so yeah,
they're playing the song Return of the Mac. Good song.
That's the song that plays anytime my friend Charlie Mac walks into a room.
Return.
So, who I hope to cast in a future movie I'm writing. Anyways, by the way, so do you want to move on to episode 4 here, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay, so in episode 4, which is titled, Speakeasy Does It, we have, Sarah's group hides from another, Hoover robot in a Chicago speakeasy. They raise money by selling the mansion's infinite drinks. So yeah, the mansion is able to create infinite drinks by putting them in the refrigerator and then taking them out, and then a new one appears every time they do that.
But like, no food apparently, just drinks.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. So, I mean, did anybody try it like with a sandwich or anything? I mean, I'm just saying.
I don't know if they did or not. Yeah, maybe.
So
B-Rar, what if he put all of his marijuana in there?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah.
I want that kind of refrigerator. Yeah. So they give the infinite number of drinks at the bar. They sell them to they sell the drinks at the bar and give the rest of the sales to Eddie, the bartender, who is a black man in 1925. And this is also during the whole what's that period called where you couldn't drink? The Prohibition?
Prohibition. Yeah.
So this ends up violating Eddie's deal with his gangster landlord, Ross Batani. So he takes the club back. And then Zari raises money for Eddie by holding a party in the mansion. Again, this hurts my head.
Yeah.
That this mansion exists where they just have to put a key in the door, and it appears.
Listen, man, DC is wild with...
Yeah.
Like even much more so than Marvel with just suspending reality.
Yeah.
That reminded me. So, I've been watching Doom Patrol a lot on HBO Max, okay? There's a character in there. I'm not going to give too much away. There's a character in there called Danny the Street, which is a sentient being that is a street. Not a human being. It's a street. And its gender is non-binary. So you got to throw that in there, too. It's like, you just accept it. Danny the Street. Let's go over to their street and just hang out. This is there you go. That's reality, you know?
Well, in Marvel, there's a character that's a planet, so I guess that makes sense.
Ego's a planet. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
What if you were a street on that planet, so then would you... Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Danny the Street would be on Ego the Planet. Yeah, why not?
So,
that way, mixing Marvel and DC, and that's the one sin you can't do, though. You know, everything else is totally. Nope. You mix DC and Marvel, can't do it.
They have this party in the mansion with a performance by the Bullet Blondes.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's the name of my new band, by the way.
I like that. The Bullet Blondes, yeah.
Yes. We're a ska polka band.
It does have a name for that. I was definitely picturing ska when I heard Blondes. I'm like there's got to be a horn section here somewhere.
Yeah, but it's ska polka. We have accordions and horn section. Yeah.
Skolka? Skolka?
Yeah.
Call it Skolka.
And then we randomly have Gregorian chants in there, too. So it's just a weird kind of thing we got going on.
Danny the Street opens. And what style is Danny the Street? Just like a run-of-the-mill punk or
I'm thinking classical punk.
Yeah, Danny the Street, classical punk. And then you got Bullet Blondes doing their skolka hits such as... Gary Eats Hoover. Yeah. Racism. I don't know. And then
and Zari's in a pocket. And
Zari's in a pocket. Yes. Or Zari's in a pizza pocket. No, pocket's fine. Yeah.
Hot pockets. Okay, so anyways, Gary notices that Nate puts himself in doomed relationships. He keeps talking to him about his relationship with Zari, with OG Zari. He puts him in these doomed relationships so that he won't have to commit, motivating Nate to talk to Tomas. Meanwhile, Spooner's group sneaks onto a train to Chicago with the help of a jazz band called the Masquerades.
Get it?
Yeah. And their leader, Maud Beaumont, Botani is her abusive boyfriend. He's the guy that took down Eddie's bar. He forces her to sing at his club, which is Eddie's old club. But Spooner's group convinces her to cut ties from him, basically fucking up the timeline because she was supposed to die, but whatever.
Who cares? By the way, Eddie's bar is on Danny the Street, just if you want to
know. Oh, is it? Okay, cool. And
just in case you want to know.
The Hoover robot finds Zari's party, but the legends capture him. Spooner's group almost catches up with Sarah's group to no avail, as Gary has already boarded a train to New York City with the rest of the legends. So he's got the legends inside of the key. This hurts my head, Matt. Okay, anyway, yeah, so
it's approaching levels of like how much suspension of disbelief can we get here? We got pocket dimensions and hell, which again, why don't they all just live there?
The main thing is they don't have food there, and plus they kind of want to, you know, get back to their own time and stuff, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's my thing though is, why weren't they there during the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths thing? Couldn't John just expand his mansion?
Yeah.
Pocket.
How long has John had this pocket dimension? Yeah.
And plus, if hell is a spiritual place, not a physical location, then the Antimonitor could have destroyed the entire physical universe, but there's still apparently spiritual dimensions that you can live in. So theoretically, John could have just done his magic and just created a whole spiritual earth where people can live there.
See, I have a wild theory about this.
Yeah.
My theory is that the writers hadn't thought of this yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's probably it. What was it? That meme where it shows Agatha Harkness is talking to Wanda, and she says, "This is Wanda. This is chaos magic." And then they have a picture of Loki doing some like shield charm during one of the episodes. You know what this is, Loki? This is convenience magic, because he never once showed that ability throughout any of the movies.
Exactly. So, anyways, we have them in New York, going to New York or whatever, and during this time inside the pocket dimension, Zari swaps out with Zari Tomas in order to interrogate and try to figure out what's going on with Hoover, the Hoover robot.
Yeah.
The Hoover robot.
Or the Hobots? Well, that sounds different. Whoa, that's another band. The Hobots open up for Danny DeStreet and Eddie's Bar. That's another band.
So, do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the latest episode?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We're just talking about it. Wow. Yeah. Sure.
We'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. So, the latest episode is episode 5 of season 7 here, entitled It's a Mad, Mad, Mad Scientist. Directed by Andrew Cash. Written by Payman, Kalia, and Mark Bruner. I don't know. Anyways, I'm bad with names. This premiered on November 10th of 2021. So, in this episode, what we have, we're opening up and we got Sarah's group arriving in New York City. They, while there, they try to find Davis, and they find out that, Davis's time travel machine is missing one component. When they first encounter, I thought it was interesting, when they first encounter seeing Davis, they're like, he looks familiar. He's being played by Matt Ryan, who played Constantine. And they say he looks familiar, and then somebody says, oh, he looks like Mick with hair. And then Sarah says he looks like a young Stein. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I didn't understand it either. Like,
well, no, it was a running joke because basically they're just trying to say he looks like almost every other legend that's left, except for the one that he actually does look like.
And just bizarre.
Yeah, it's a meta sort of thing. Gary finds the component that is missing, but it ends up getting confiscated by Thomas Edison. That is who Davis is working for, by the way. Edison goes in and he terminates Davis and takes his plans. Meanwhile, Nate is suggesting to Zari to move into the mansion where she can coexist, but she actually just wants him to live in the totem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they realize through looking through the schematics on the computer or whatever you want to call it of the Hoover robot that he was sent to replace the original Hoover and eliminate the legends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what?
By whom, we don't know, but whatever. I'm assuming it's Bishop. But,
Yeah.
So, we have, we're back at, Davis's, Davis was terminated. He was also sent away to Bellevue. Insane Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Bellevue.
Yeah, because that's obviously, I guess, what your employer can do if he fires you.
Hey, it's 1925, man.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
Because I think he's crazy because he's trying to create time travel. So basically, then Bayrod activates the machine at Davis's. They figure out the machine is at Davis's residence. Bayrod activates the machine, but this erases Gary and Ava from existence somehow.
Yeah,
I understand Ava being erased, but I don't get Gary. But anyways, so.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, he was an alien before he came.
Yeah, but he
to the Time Bureau.
It just didn't make sense.
He already would have existed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Time travel is kind of hard to write. It's like that. It's like that thing with the dean in Community where he's trying to write a time travel book.
Time travel is really hard to write about. Yeah. Time death.
Yeah. What if this hoodie were a time hoodie?
Yeah, if hoodie were a time hoodie.
So, Zari reprograms. Sarah goes and helps Davis escape from the mental institution. says that he's going to help him get his loved one back if she helps her get her loved one back. Zari has reprogrammed Hoover to steal Davis's plans back, but when they're going to confront Edison, he explodes, which gives Edison a heart attack, to which he dies. He falls onto a coffee table and dies. So basically, the new Wave Rider delivers a robot of Hoover, but also a robot of Thomas Edison.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Davis activates the machine himself, restoring Ava and Gary to the timeline. Which, if you think about more than a minute, your head hurts too.
Yeah.
So Astra's group nearly makes it to New York City with the help of Erwin George Baker, who was a real person. I thought he was like a person created for this show. Mm-hmm. But Erwin Baker, known as Cannonball Baker, was an American motorcycle and automobile racing driver and organizer in the first half of the 20th century. Baker began his public career as a vaudeville performer, but turned to driving and racing after winning a dirt track motorcycle race in Crawfordsville, Indiana, in about 1904. Oh. He was also famous for his record-setting point-to-point drives, in which he was paid to promote the products of various motorcycle and automobile manufacturers. In all, he made 143 cross-country motorcycle speed runs, totaling 550,000 miles.
Wow.
In 1908, Baker purchased an Indian motorcycle and began entering and winning local races. His most famous victory came in 1909 at the first race ever held at the newly built Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He also raced in the 1922 Indianapolis 500, placing 11th in a Frontenac. He later became the first commissioner of NASCAR. He was inducted into the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Hall of Fame in 1981, the Motorsports Hall of Fame in America in 1989, and the American Motorcyclist Association Motorcycle Hall of Fame in 1998. So yeah, he did a lot. So yeah, he was a real guy. Yeah. I thought they just made him up for the show, but
yeah, me too.
But he's they're trying to get there with the help of him. But somebody steals the car. With Gideon in the back seat sleeping.
Yep.
And they're almost at New York when this happens. But not close enough to stop things. So they come up with the idea for Astra to short-circuit all of New York City's power to stop the time machine from being started. Because basically what they know is going to happen from Gideon is that everybody's going to blow up, basically, in the time machine.
Yeah. He's just going to die in there and stuff like that. Which is weird, because he started it at first, though, which brought back Ava and Gary, so why wouldn't he explode that?
But okay, it whatever. Probably just didn't start fully or something, I don't know.
Who knows?
If you think about it for more than 2 minutes, your head explodes, I'm telling you.
This is convenience time travel.
Yes. So Astra has short-circuited all of New York City to stop the machine. They, they realize that there's a chip needed for the power to work because they can't use the actual, you know, like, regular electricity. And so the chip isn't going to be invented for, like, 300 years.
Oh, God.
But conveniently...
Yeah.
One of those chips is in the head of Hoover that they still have that blew up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, conveniently.
So they they successfully time travel with that chip, but then they land in an unknown place in time. So who knows where they are next? And that catches us up on all of the season of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts so far this season, Matt, on the show?
It's just, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of like season 6 better, but even then, I wasn't really into the whole alien invasion thing, because that seemed kind of old hat to me. But you know, it was still good. But it's interesting. You know, I wasn't really liking them being stuck in the 1920s too much, but now that they might be doing some more stuff. But I did like the episode 3 a lot, though. Going to Gideon's.
That was the 100th episode of the series, too, so that's kind of cool.
I really did like that. I also like to see what they're going to do now, because they end up, they're supposed to be going to, Tahiti in 2021, I guess. But
that's not where they ended up.
They said we're not in Tahiti, so who knows where they're
at. Yeah.
Or when they are.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, because I don't think they're going to be in 2021.
Right. It's just like, what was the show on Community that Abed watched? It was called Detective...
Inspector Spacetime.
Yeah, it's not the question, Reginald. It's when.
Yes.
When we are. And they actually say that on this show, too, when we are.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious.
I mean, this show is basically kind of a whole, Doctor Who wannabe anyways, so it's like...
I know. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
In some ways. But, yeah.
But anyways, so we've got coming up, we've got 2 more episodes, and then we have a small break.
Okay.
We'll have after the 24th, we're going to have a break until January 12th. So.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. But I'm liking this season so far, except for there are certain things that bother me, like the pocket dimension thing. And,
Yeah, I know. It's just weird.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see where this is going. Hopefully it's going to go somewhere cool. Hopefully they travel to different times again, because I like it when there's a different time each week.
Yeah. They
I miss those days. Yeah.
Really years.
So we'll see what happens. Any speculation here, Matt, or anything?
Unfortunately, I think Bishop is going to be back. Hopefully he won't be the main. I don't even know if there's going to be a main thing this... I don't know. I would like if, Damian Dark came back again or something like that.
I don't think that's going to happen now that... Because he kind of became good anyways, so...
He did, but maybe he'll come back. He's not going to come. But I'm just saying it would be cool. But, I don't know. I mean, I would just like to have a good villain. It seems like they haven't had a... That would be my only criticism lately of the past 3 seasons, is that there hasn't been really a good villain.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, Moloch
was really cool because he was a time demon, literally.
I think Bishop could be a good villain if written properly.
Yeah.
And plus, this is a different Bishop than the Bishop we knew, too, so...
Because this is kind of the... I'm trying to remember. What was the villain in season 4? I don't even remember
who... Season 4? I don't know if they had one.
Was, or they were?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was the, where they're trying to, it was, that demon dude. What was his name? Neron or something like that, who was after John's soul because
he took
Ben, yeah, and he was torturing the creatures or whatever. So he was that was a decent villain, not really written that well, but okay. And then season 5 had the Fates, so we got into Greek mythology, which was okay. That was kind of dumb. But then you had, because then we found out that Clotho. I forgot what was her name in the. God damn it! I forgot her already. That's the other thing about Legends. Like, you forget about characters that just left not that long ago because you have so many fucking.
Well, yeah, there's a crack up. Charlie is who you're thinking of.
Yeah, Charlie. So, you know, like we first, you know, she's introduced as like a being from hell that escaped, and you know they're gonna have to send her back to hell. So basically, they're like time cops now, which is weird because Mick hates cops, and he basically became one. And then they didn't send her back to hell. And like, oh, that's nice. They saved her. And then it's like, oh no, it turns out that she's actually one of three time goddesses that control the fates of the world. And then she left, and now they're looking for her. I'm like, okay. I tell you what. At least that was better than Gary as an alien.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere and everything too. I mean, I'm hoping that this season doesn't have any more weirdness that makes your brain hurt, like the pocket dimension. But
John's pocket dimension. Well, that sounds bad.
John's pocket dimension. Yes.
That's another band name. John's.
Either that or it's a new product from Hot Pockets. I'm telling you, it's going to be in the frozen food section eventually.
Yep. You just stick them in your pants in mm-hmm. your pocket. Let them sit there. Let them thaw out. Don't even cook them. Let them thaw out and then you eat them.
Yeah. You have a nice pizza pocket in your pants. And, So, any other thoughts here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
No, nothing.
Okay. Well, folks, make sure you, check out alltoreal2.com. Share it with your friends. That helps out a lot. You know, if you like this episode or any of our episodes, please share it with your friends. That'll help us out immensely. Give us a 5-star review. That'll help us out immensely as well. Immensely, wee, 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 wee. And the... And if you... If you can, check out our Patreon or our T Public. That'll help us out too. So Matt can afford to change his name every week. And, And I can get some, John's, John's pocket dimensions.
Yeah.
And eat them, you know? I'll get some John's, pizza pockets in my pants. And, then we'll, pizza pocket pants. That's my new name. I will legally change my name to pizza pocket pants if somebody gives us $1 million.
Dude, that sounds so weird. Pizza pocket pants. Pizza pocket pants.
Yes. I will legally change my name to that. If you give me $1 million, I will change my name to that.
pizza pocket pants.
Yes. I may not use it, but I'll change my name legally to that.
Hey, you know what it says? You have to be called by that name.
Yeah. I'll still go by Mike, but I'm not going to.
You can say, you know, my name is Pizza Pocket Pants, but you can call me Mike.
Yes.
You know,
AKA of course. Michael Edward Cullen II. But anyways, so the.
Yeah.
So anyways, folks, before I lose it completely, we should probably wrap things up. You know. Have a good week. You know, be smart, be safe out there. Wear a mask. Get vaxxed. Wear a condom.
Yep.
And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.